many years. And how empty life can get. And then you go to sleep and you say, my God, nothing happened. Then you have to take some intoxication to really forget the whole thing. And then you get intoxicated. Intoxication always means there's agitation on this side and reaction on the other. Some kind of reaction. So after the intoxication effect is over, it's much worse. Then again, the same system. In the office, punching the keyboard, in front of the TV, looking, and in between some, actually, primitive sleeping, and very strange defense. You are completely living in the anonymity of a big city. Nobody knows you, you know nobody, you know. Like, this is the lifestyle Prabhupada totally rejected. He warned us, don't get into this. Krishna consciousness is supreme personality. And just from surrendering to Krishna, just from praying Krishna consciousness, you can get so much actually enthusiasm that you don't need the stimulation from outside. You're stimulated enough. You know, if you ever saw a bunch of brahmacharis being together on Sankirtan really frustrated, I never saw this. They can become so outrageously happy. They're almost like a bunch of, you know, misbehaved children. They giggle and punch each other and do things, you know, like that. There was a Sweden priest. He was traveling around making presentations. How? Actually, Hare Krishna movement is powered by intoxication. I don't know where you got it from. And the proof is that they are all happy. That realization he had. He made the analysis how they danced every morning around a certain plan. Which they later on smoke. He made a whole thing like that. But the man was so poor-minded that he couldn't even imagine that you can be happy without intoxication. When he's so happy, the voice of course he concluded they must be all intoxicated. It's unavoidable. So this is, you know, this is practically spoken. But you know what is awaiting us if we actually dive into the bliss of sankirtan. So there's everything as a premise. It's maybe in the beginning like a little bit bitter. It's a price to be paid. But as soon you overcome that border and it's not very high. Like yesterday he was speaking here. He said, you find a company which they will give you an engagement with no qualification. Basically. Not much problem. Then from that you get so much bliss. And just in the case you don't get a bliss, they will keep you anyway. You know, even you don't produce much, they will keep you anyway. They will keep you to eat. They will keep you around and say, at least you can, maybe if you cannot do this, you do that. Find a company where they will do. Like, if you cannot do this, then maybe you can do that. Or you cannot do that either. Maybe you can do that. Just don't go away. You find a company. I don't think it exists in the material world, except maybe in that house, you know, or prison. But otherwise, let's say in normal institutions, if you're not qualified, you're finished. If you're not productive, they will also kick you out. You have to show yourself, you know, qualifications and efficiency. Here in Krishna consciousness, we start with no qualification and no efficiency. And even later on, we will see how far efficient and how qualified we are. That is still the thing. We have problems with that, you know. Still, nobody is really kicked up. This is the movement Prabhupada gave. Most all-embracing, most merciful. You know, and even devotees came to Prabhupada sometimes in a very formal state. You know. If all fell down from the regular principles and everything, they came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, fall in love, fall in lust. But he didn't, you know, he was very tolerant. Prabhupada was tolerant, but he didn't accept that. He didn't make it like a rule. No. But he was very tolerant. He had a wonderful way to deal with this. Like when Mataji came to Prabhupada, she said, Prabhupada, I want to get married. And she already had an agenda, you know,
to whom?
Prabhupada knew it immediately. And she smiled. He looked at the picture of Gopal over here. There was a picture of Gopal. Isn't Gopal nice? And Prabhupada said that. You have to agree. Gopal is so nice. Prabhupada said, why don't you marry him? And she was going, oh, that's a good idea. And then she walked out of the door and then the whole issue was over. Sometimes Prabhupada accidentally fell in bed. It was very such a wonderful way to actually come in contact with him. It was so beautiful because actually, you never knew what you are getting. Because Prabhupada was very personal, very individual. Some issues he solved simply by a smile. Some issues he solved by heavy preaching. Some issues he solved simply by logic and reason. And some issues he said, they are not to be solved. Let's forget it. And you said, oh, that's wonderful. Then let's forget it. That's it. The life was very easy. Prabhupada was personally available like this. But one thing you could be sure, if you go out and distribute some books, Prabhupada would be right away there. I was personally present in England. Last time when Prabhupada was present, I saw Prabhupada three times. Every time, the first time he came to Germany, like finishing. But the second time, he just came Saturday night from Sankirtan to the temple. And the temple was empty. There was nobody there. And the last one who was running out was a pujari. So we turned the car, we unloaded the last one, turned the car around and drove the whole night to France. Next morning, we were there, we drove back. Last time I saw Prabhupada standing up with Prabhupada in England. That was really surprising because we knew Prabhupada is already in a very critical condition, fasting every day. And suddenly he was in England. So we just jumped in a car for the whole night and drove through the night, you know. I remember the first time in my life I drove from the left side to England. I didn't care what it said. I just had to cross the whole London, you know, to the other side to buy I was driving Piccadilly Circus around them. It didn't bother me one thing. Drove the whole night, the whole day. We came to England to Prabhupada. I was expecting that from Prabhupada, you know, the dynamic Prabhupada preaching, light comes from light. The missing link is my boot in your face. You know. But the atmosphere was very good. It was very quiet. We knew there's something else going on. So I just sit down in the temple room in the middle of the day, just jumped in my gayatri, and our GBC suddenly appeared in the door. He was pointing to me. So I was telling my gayatri. So I just broke up the gayatri and ran out of the temple room, and he was pushing me in front of me into Prabhupada's room, where Prabhupada was sitting there in the most ecstatic form, going through one ecstasy to another, very much different from what I expected. His play of the Madhyam Adhikari going around preaching was over. He was just couldn't restrain his ecstasy anymore. And then there was Kamakrishna Maharaj, and they presented Prabhupada the Daily Mail. At that time, Prabhupada couldn't answer himself. He was just dictating a short comments on the different letters as they opened the envelopes. And Kamakrishna Maharaj took down the notes, and he was actually answering. So, was like one envelope was a big picture from Ratha Yatra and was amazing.
Prabhupada,
I always wanted, even as a small boy, such a big Ratha, such a big, you know, car. And then there was one envelope they opened. There was some book inside. I don't know. Some new teaching of Lord Chaitanya, something like that. New book from the
book.
Prabhupada immediately broke into ecstasy. I was just sitting there
constantly.
Prabhupada took the book.
You
know, as soon as he saw the book, his hands were reaching out for it. And he took the book, and the first thing he did, amazingly, he was proving the binding. And then he took the book on a lap. He became so transcendentally proud. He looked at us like, my book. Very simple to see where Prabhupada's focus was. Anybody being part of book production and book distribution was a blessing. Because that was the Prabhupada's heart. That doesn't mean we want to discriminate any other devotion ourselves. You presented him anything published, even a language he couldn't understand. You know, he was very happy, he needed looking for it. You know, and he said, every time my book gets published, I feel like I conquered the whole universe. It's a fact, because that's what we have today. We don't have the possibility to see Prabhupada going through this kind of ecstasy personally, but we have his books. And without his books, who knows where we were already today. So much degradation can take place. You will have people coming, even to Krishna consciousness, who will present such a nonsense with such a self-confidence like Krishna consciousness. It's unbelievable. But here they have the reference. Well, it's very nice what you're doing. Where is this in Prabhupada's books, please? Show me. How does it relate to that? They will tell you, well, you know, here, you know, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna speaks, so that's actually like me, you know, it's actually me. Oh, really? Oh, that's no problem. Then can you show me the universal form, please, here? You know, it's just chapter 11. Please. You are not qualified yet to see the universal form. It doesn't matter, then make me qualified, please. You know. Just please get out of here. You know? So, the Prabhupada's books, nobody can defeat you. Nobody can match this. And this is the biggest protection and the biggest blessing we can get in part of book production and book distribution. Since we are today quite late, I don't want to prolong it even more late. I would like to just bring it to this conclusion. Is there questions? The mic here? Do you have a mic?
Hello. I was just wondering, what is the mentality of a big person who wants to go on book distribution all life? I mean, to find the proper balance between being too much like enthusiastic, but at the same time have the vision to continue all your life. What is the mentality?
Well, there was this word, vision religion. And that vision we should never lose. You should never lose the vision. You should never lose the connection and the enthusiasm. Then, of course, walking through one's lifetime, a devotee would encounter different situations. I guess most sincere devotees want to do one thing. They just want to preach and go back home, back to Godhead, finished. Essentially spoken is called sannyas. It's actually the meaning of sannyas, preaching. Prabhupada said, if there is no preaching, there is no need of sannyas. Sannyas is meant for preaching. That's nice. Wonderful idea. But we will encounter one thing there which will make us a little bit struggle. that life is not about just what we want, but what we have to do. Like you think, I like eating. I don't like to go to the toilet. If you see somebody eating, for sure he will go to the toilet. It's not a nice place to be. You know. But this is almost, I mean, it's sure. As sure as death. Because when you eat, when you see somebody alive, in the material world, you can be sure you go to the toilet. Also not very nice. So there are many things in our lives we have to do, maybe, which we don't want to do. Usually devotees are hesitant. They're actually hesitant towards, especially if you are like trained up brahmacharya, brahmacharini. Then usually you are quite hesitant to do sakisam to marriage. Because if anyway you have a brain, you know, this will be complicated. Who wants to complicate his life? If you say, would you like to complicate your life? And how much? Everybody will say, no, I don't want to complicate my life. No, I want to be simple and happy. And obviously preaching is providing that. That doesn't mean we don't have to do these things. So we have to be also properly situated, which may be taking energy from us, from our original idea to go the whole life in Sankirtan. It's a fact that going on Sankirtan will not make you younger. You can still remain quite young. Actually, it's a very good way to stay at least mentally quite young. I was distributing some years ago, not so long time ago, in Sri Marathon. With young, you know, devotees. And usually I go on Sankirtan quite often to young people. So, you know, and in Sweden, most like young people have usually quite money. So, you know, and usually you go like the whole group, when the school is over, they come, you know, out, and then you go to the whole group and you distribute the books, like you can distribute sometimes 3, 4, 5 books at once like this, you know. So it was just a bunch of girls, and I just went there, you know. I don't know this thing. I say the same thing I said, you know, when I was in Sankirtan 30 years ago. Actually, I do exactly the same. I just went there, hello, 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 hello. And then actually they took some books. And then he went around the corner, there was another devotee distributing. And he had kind of out of reflex offered them also a book, and they were all waiting with the book. And like, how do we get the books already from the boy around the corner? So he came looking around the corner. And I was standing there. What's going on? And he said, you know, there was some boy here distributing books. They said they got books of the boy. But it was me, you see? I'm getting younger. At least you don't have to grow old in Krishna consciousness. Like an old cheese. Pure cheese. It's almost liquid. Serious. My poison. I don't want to become old. Like a mummified, you know? Open a cupboard and they say, old devotee. Dusting. Full of sin there. And he goes, it's the answer is. Any young bhakta can be horrified, you know. They ask the same question. Can I also become like that? After 30 years in Krishna consciousness. You don't answer. You're not needed. The same teacher. The morning of the enthusiasm, and you will not get that old fat. Mm-hmm. So you can also go, you know, the body belt. It can make noise. It's you know, it's got a little. It's a machine, you know. Certainly, it's not guitar. You will use up the machine a little bit. It's unavoidable. So, we used to, like in Germany, especially in the times of legal troubles, we had to walk on the streets very fast. Actually, I'm so away from that. Until today, I can't stand in one spot or something like this. And I go out and go, go around the town and, you know. But when you are 18, it's more fun. But when you are a bit older, then, you know, you go, Shanky Tanky! You know, naturally. You don't get younger. So, therefore, it's such a bliss to see younger devotees. Because the older ones, we should assist the younger ones. You know, in action and also with a limited experience because they got, you know, they make the same mistakes and the same things. So why should they, the others, do the same mistakes? That's how it works. In the Vedic society, this was absolutely established. The younger yadus and the older yadus. And the young yadus, when they're all kshatriyas, you know. So they're all just, let's go over there and give them hard time. Let's do it. And the old ones are going, that's a good idea. But we have to see what to do it. So we don't get, you know, some reactions for that. So whatever. So the lifelong plans for Buddhist devotions are wonderful. The question is how to do it.